एतत्ते विहितं शतर् यन्मां त्वं परिपृष्टवान् प्रचेतासं नारदस्य संवादं हरिकीर्तनम् एतत्ते विहितं शतत् यन्मां त्वं परिपृष्टवान् प्रचेतसां नारदस्य संवादं हरिकीर्तनम् एतत्ते विहितं शतः यन्मां त्वं परिपृष्टवान् प्रचेतसां नारदस्य संवादं हरिकीर्तनम् टु अ ट्रान्स्लेशन् एतत् This, te, unto you, abhihitam, instructed, kshattaha, o vidura, yat, whatever, maam, unto me, tvam, you, pariprishthavan, inquire, prachetasam, of the prachetas, Naradasya, of Narada, Sambadam, conversation, Hari Kirtanam, describing the glories of the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, my dear Vidura, I have told you everything you wanted to know about the conversation between Narada and the Prachetas. The conversation describing the glories of the Lord, I have related this as far as possible. I'll repeat the translation. My dear Vidura, I have told you everything you wanted to know about the conversation between Narada and the Prachetas, the conversation describing the glories of the Lord. I have related this as far as possible. This is Sage Maitreya telling this to Vidura. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam describes the glories of the Lord and His devotees because the whole subject matter is the glorification of the Lord. Naturally, the glorification of His devotees automatically follows. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadahmahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishna Vamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णा चैतन्या देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पदान सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखांवितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधरा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः योऽन्तः प्रविश्य मम वाचम् इमां प्रसुप्तां सञ्जीवयत्यखिल शक्तिधरस्वधाम्ना अन्यांश्च हस्तचरणश्रवणत्वगादिन् प्राणान् नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यम्। तो हरे कृष्ण वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू टू टुडेज श्रीमद्भागवतम डिस्कशन। एक्चुअली यस्टरडे व्हेन आई वाज सुग्रीव प्रभु टोल्ड मी दैट ही हैज कवर्ड टू वर्सेस एंड this after cover 25, then I saw there are only two lines of purport. So I thought I might as well skip a few verses and go to the one which has a longer purport. But then I realized that I'm a very novice to Bhagavatam. I'm a student of Bhagavatam. I'm still very new to Srimad Bhagavatam. So I thought maybe I should really do this verse for my purification, because it talks about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says that Srimad Bhagavatam is all about the glories of the Lord and the glories of His devotees. So, I thought maybe I should do the Shravan of Bhagavatam more so that it purifies me. So, I'm just going to speak on this verse. Thanks to Sukadev Prabhu to guide me to this verse. So, we know from Canto 1, Chapter 4, 5, 6, where Krishna Dvaipayana and Vyasa, who is our current Vyasadeva, who is actually the incarnation of the Lord, he was despondent, and how Narada Muni came in and then guided him and instructed Vyasadeva to compose a literature which describes the activities of the Supreme Lord more vividly. Now, we know from the Vedic parlance that if you have to say something correctly, or if you have to prove as an evidence, we always have prasthanatrayas. Prasthanatrayas means there are three evidences or proof or that you quote to justify anything. Prasthanatrayas. Prasthana means evidence, tray means three. And they are composed of the Vedas or the Shrutis, the Vedanta Sutra, the Brahma Sutras, and the Vedanta. And the second one is the Smriti Shastras, which is the Puranas and the Itihasas. The Itihasas are history, and Puranas, which are the 18 Puranas which we see. So these are the three categories that generally in the Vedic parlance, although we have the Shat Darshanas, which is the six different classifications of philosophy, which is Nyaya, Mimamsa and things like that. But primarily, when you come to the Vedic context, not the Nayayikas or the Mimamsikas, but when you come to the Vedic context, they quote these three prasthanas, which is the evidences. Primarily the Shrutis, but the Puranas and the Itihasas augment the Shrutis. Now, it's interesting, we only have two Shrutis, Itihasa, only two histories. Although I remember in my school, I had read a lot of history all through my years. and I don't remember anything because I had to remember the birth date of some king, the death date of some king, the battle fought in Panipat, etc., etc., etc. And they were all about dates and occurrences and events. But history, traditionally in the Vedic parlance, is not about rote learning of dates or rote learning of events and things like that. Because it contains information which imbue the pursuant for a transformation within. So that's the whole purpose of any literature in Vedas. It is not about mugging up dates and events. So that's interesting. When I was preparing for this, I thought, okay, we only have two history books, which is Ramayana and Mahabharata. And yet they are so vast that people are still studying from past 5,000 years, and probably they'll continue to study for the next 400,000 years. And it will never end. So Narada Muni came together with Vyasa and he says, although you have explained the four human ends so elaborately till now, at many places you also have glorified the Supreme Lord, because Veda Vyasa had written Padma Purana, Vishnu Purana, Skanda Purana, and all this, and Brahma Purana. Brahma Purana is a proper Vishnu Purana actually. It glorifies the Lord. So Narada Muni is saying, yes, you have glorified, but somehow there is something lacking. You need to express about the Lord again, more eloquently, more vividly. But it seems that as if Veda Vyasa is saying, Narada Muni, but I have described bhakti to be higher than liberation. I've already described bhakti. It's not only the four human ends, I've also described the Panchama Purusha, which is bhakti, the devotion to the Lord, in the Padma Purana. Don't you know that I've said, Anyatra Punya Tirthesha Muktireva Mahaphalam Muktai Parthaya Hare Bhaktir Mathurayam Chalabhyate. So I've said, liberation is highest goal in visiting the holy place, but devotion to the Lord prayed for by the liberated souls can be obtained at Mathura. I have said this in Padma Purana, Narada Muni. But Narada Muni still recommends to compose another work, which is complete with the descriptions of the Supreme Lord. Now I was contemplating a little deeper of why is this so? Because in one sense, all literature is actually alluding to the Supreme Lord only. The Vedas, Krishna says, Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vetyo. So actually the Vedas are actually talking of the Supreme Lord. So why is Narada Muni alluding to this? So when I was researching like this, I came upon Srila Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya says, now interestingly, the Puranas have been composed with a different language system itself, all the 18 Puranas. And Madhvacharya classifies this as three language systems. What is it called as? He calls it as Guhya Bhasha, Samadhi Bhasha and Darshana Bhasha. So what it means is, it is not straightforward. For example, something can be said in a way, but it is expressed in Guhya Bhasha. For example, I'll give you an example. In one of the Puranas, it is said, Shiva Shulaha Chatushpataha. If you literally translate it, Shiva Shulaha Chatushpataha. What is it? Chatushpatha means there are four streets and Shiva is standing with his shula. This is the meaning, literal meaning of it. But there is a Guhya meaning of this as well. What is that? Shiva means auspiciousness, shula means three, and Chatushpatha means the four Vedas. One who has understood the four Vedas, then he only can cross the three miseries, which is Shiva Shula, which is three, and he can then only contact the auspicious, the most auspicious, which is Lord Krishna. So there is a Guhya Bhasha under the literal meaning. So certain Puranas might not be very straightforward. That is why they say, if you want to go to Naraka, either do priest work or talk about Purana. If you really want to go to hell, you have to talk Puranas, because generally, that is why we have to speak what the Acharyas have said. Otherwise, speaking Purana can be is a very serious affair. That's what the Shastras say, that speaking Purana is a very, very serious affair. Why? Because it's a very, very responsible position, because people are hearing and then you become the reason for their progress, whether towards material progress or spiritual progress. So that is why Madhvacharya says, majorly Puranas are written in Guhya Bhasha and Samadhi Bhasha, but very rarely Darshana Bhasha. Now Darshana Bhasha means as it is, just as it is, like as if you are writing history. So Narada Muni is alluding to Veda Vyasa that you should write about the glories of the Lord as it is, straightforward, no samadhi bhasha, no uhya bhasha, open, so that people can just access the glories of the Lord. Because it was very inaccessible. If you see the Vedas, the Lord is not directly described. If you see Padma Purana, again if you see other Puranas, there is a mix of everything. There is dharma, artha, kama, moksha and bhakti as well. So Narada Muni is saying, no, why don't you write a literature which is talking only about bhakti, only about the Supreme Lord and His devotees, and His paraphernalia, of course. So this is a soul dedication. That's why Narada Muni says, yatha dharmadayaschartha munivarnam kirtitaha natatha vasudeva natatha vasudevasya mahima anuvarnitaha. So you have not explained the glories of the Lord very clearly, Vedavyasaji. Although Vedavyasa is senior to him in one sense, because he is the Supreme Lord. It's a very strange relationship. Because Narada Muni is the spiritual master of Vedavyasa, but Narada Muni is also the grandson of Vedavyasa. How is that? Because he is the son of Brahma. Brahma is the son of the Lord. And Dvaipayana Vyasa is actually the Lord. So he is actually the grandson and actually the spiritual master. It's a very strange relationship sometimes. It's amazing actually how Bhagavatam alludes to this. So then Vedavyasa starts composing Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the supreme literature for mankind at large. Now, under this instruction, Srimad Bhagavatam was expounded by Vedavyasa. But how did he expound it? Very interesting. Vedavyasa has composed all of the Shruti, all of the Itihasas, the Puranas. Now he's trying to compose Srimad Bhagavatam. What's interesting is, he did not compose Srimad Bhagavatam just as another work of Krishna. It says, this Srimad Bhagavatam is Sakala Shruti Saram. The entire Upanishads, Upanishads is one section of the Vedas, whereas the Vedas has four sections. One of the sections of the Vedas, Upanishads. So he has combined the essence of all these Vedanta Upanishads, the Vedanta Sutras, and written it in the Bhagavatam as a commentary, as a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. That's what Prabhupada also says. Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentary. But he has written it in such a way that it is not as boring as the Vedas, as esoteric as the Vedas. But it is very, very approachable. It's very poetic, it's very beautiful, and it is very, very unapproachable as well. So it was a very unique composition of Vedavyasa, which we'll study, which we'll discuss ahead as well. And it is also said by Vedavyasa himself. Now what's interesting is, we also say that he has compiled all the 17 Puranas and then he comes to compile Srimad Bhagavatam. But he has already mentioned about Srimad Bhagavatam in the Garuda Purana. How is that possible? Because he says, Arthoyam Brahma Sutranam Bharatartha Vinirnayaha Gayatri Bhashya Ruposav Vedartha Paribrimhitaha Grantho Ashtadasha Sahasrashaha Srimad Bhagavatabhidaha. This is the verse in Garuda Purana, which says, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the authorized explanation of Sri Brahma Sutra, and it is the further explanation of Mahabharata. It is the expansion of the Gayatri Mantra. Of course, it is the Brahma Gayatri. And the essence of all Vedic knowledge. Now this Srimad Bhagavatam, which contains Ashtadasha Sahasrasha, means what? Ashtadasha means 18,000 verses, is known as the explanation of all Vedic literature. So that means it is just a leela that Vedavyasa and Narada Muni is going on, because he's already written that in the Garuda Purana. And there are many other references of glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam in many other Puranas that Vedavyasa has written. Now, what turned me is Srimad Bhagavatam only only studied by devotees alone? No, this literature is so unique that what's interesting is, this is the only Purana, this is the only Purana among the 18 Puranas which is the most commented Purana. Right? Apart from the commentaries given by the Acharyas in the Parampara, even the so-called scholars, the Sanskrit scholars and the Kavis, the poets, they all wanted to have a piece of cake from the Bhagavatam. If you see, if you go to Wikipedia, they will say Bhagavatam was composed in the 9th century, which is due to ignorance. It's not composed in the 9th century. But this is all because of the concoction that happened when the annexation of the country called Bharata by the annex us since the 9th century. So if we go back in history, you will see that these are huge literatures. This is not just, you know, one book like this. If you see, Bhagavatam is 12 volumes, 18,000 verses. Padma Purana is 45,000 verses. Mahabharata is 100,000 verses. These are massive works, right? And this is, and that is why a lot of modern so-called literarians say, oh, because it's 100,000 verses, maybe it's not composed by one person. Maybe many people started adding verses to it as time passed. So it's not composed at one point in time, and all these concoctions come about because they cannot comprehend the vastness of this literature. Now, if we go back to history, 9th century, we are not talking of a time when we had Google. We are not talking of a time when we had printing presses. And we are not talking of a time when we had recording machines, where someone will record, like Prabhupada used to record and then translate it. Right? So these were the times when an acharya would speak the Purana, and then the disciples would note it down, copy it, and then someone else will make a copy of that version. So this is how versions used to go. And then it used to be, they say, when an acharya speaks one Purana, by the time it gets compiled, it will take probably a few years. And then by the time this gets spread and preached around the country, it might be 10 years or even 100 years. It might take a generation because it's not so easy to move around. So it takes a mammoth effort to do this. So, but what's interesting is the Veda somehow was preserved by this because it was an oral tradition. So it was always chanted and preserved. But when it comes to Puranas, because these were literatures written down, it was very difficult to keep the authenticity of this literature. I'm just giving this background because we have to appreciate the untainted, Prabhupada calls it as spotless Purana, and we have to see why he says that. What's interesting is, imagine if someone has written down, he's made his notes from a lecture, and then someone is making a copy of it. And then there is a 100th copy. Naturally, due to human error, if you go to the 100th copy, there will be something that is wrong when you compare to the original. Oh, okay, actually, you've copied one dirgha wrong. Like you given apostrophe somewhere where you shouldn't be. Anuvarnitaha, it is not, it is, for example, Kritagna and Kritagna. It's the same sounding word. Kritagna and Kritagna. Kritagna means you are actually expressing gratitude. Kritagna means one who is so audacious that he will not express and he is the most disrespectful. It's got completely opposite meaning. But the sound is very similar. Kritagna, Kritagna. So if somebody is copying, he might miss the one yavatu, ya there, and then the whole meaning of the thing is changed. So it's very interesting. And why I am saying this is, there are, among all this literature, especially the Smriti Shastras, there are two Shastras which have not changed drastically over a period of thousands of years. You know which they are? It is Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Because even if someone compares the palm script copies of Jiva Goswami and the books that we are reading now, you won't see much differences in the verse. You might see a very little, small meaning, discrete differences, but they don't change the meaning that much. So it's very interesting. How is that possible? Primarily because Srimad Bhagavatam has attracted many scholars, and primarily this Bhagavatam has been kept within the protection of the parampara, and so is Bhagavad Gita. So that is why this literature, these two literatures were protected always. So that is why when Veda Vyasa is writing this, he is actually presenting Srimad Bhagavatam as a post-thesis literature. So that is why if we see that Srimad Bhagavatam is still a spotless Purana, because it is still authentic and it has remained unchanged over many, many, many years, thousands of years. And so is Srimad Bhagavad Gita. In fact, Madhvacharya himself says that Mahabharata is already tainted. He says Mahabharata is already tainted, because if you go to different parts of India, you will see different types of stories from Mahabharata. And you will see, where is this coming from? There is no commonality sometimes between Ramayana and Mahabharata. You will see some people, they all say it is Valmiki Ramayana, but everybody is talking their own version of Ramayana. So there is a little bit of concoction happening even in Mahabharata, and that is the reason he compiled Tatparya Nirnaya of Mahabharata on the instruction of a spiritual master, so that he could assimilate the proper version of Mahabharata. But Srimad Bhagavatam remains spotless. So, with this understanding, we can also go of how, now understand how Vedavyasa composed this Bhagavatam. He did not start writing Bhagavatam just like that. Now he thought, let me present this thesis in such a way that for pursuants of Vedic knowledge, they should be appealing to them as well, and in such a way that they should say that this is the entire gamut of the Vedas. So what did he do? If you now observe the language, for example, this is my experience. When I was doing Bhakti Shastri, I was byhearting or memorizing Bhagavad Gita verses. It was very easy. And you all feel the same way. It's easy to memorize, comparatively easy, because majority of the Bhagavad Gita verses are in 2 meters. One is Anushtubh, which is easy, which is 8 syllables, which is 32, and 8 into 4. And then the other one, which is the Rishtubh, which is 12 syllables. These are only 2 meters. But when it comes to Bhagavatam, the language itself is so difficult to understand. It's very complex. You have complex words. And I was wondering why it's difficult to understand. And there are so many words you can't connect. For example, in Bhagavad Gita, many of the words is very similar to my regional language. Like, it's very similar to Kannada. Like, idantu te guhya tamam. In Kannada, I say idantu nan, idantu, we say idantu nanakva. So, idantu is actually a Sanskrit word. Idantu te guhya tamam in 9th chapter, Krishna says. So, it's very similar to a regional language or any other mother tongue that we speak. But when it comes to Bhagavatam, it's not like that. It's very different. Usually in Sanskrit there are 2 languages. One is normally spoken language, Sanskrit, and the other one is Vedic Sanskrit. Because Vedic Sanskrit is very difficult. It takes 12 years for someone to come to a point of Vedic grammar. So they by heart the verses for 12 years, and then after 12 years they start studying Sanskrit grammar. Quite complex Vedic Sanskrit. And they say that Srimad Bhagavatam's language is very, very close to the Vedic Sanskrit. And Vedavyasa did this on purpose. For example, if you see the first verse, which talks about Janmadhyasya Yatonvaya. Janmadhyasya Yatonvayadi Taratas Satyam Param Dhimahi. Now, Satyam Param Dhimahi, what does it remind us of? Dhimahi, the word Dhimahi reminds us of Brahma Gayatri, right? It reminds us of Brahma Gayatri. So, Brahma Gayatri is coming in Rig Veda. So here, Vedavyasa is alluding that, look here, look, this is also talking about the Vedas, Dhimahi. And again, in the 12th canto, the 13th chapter, again Vedavyasa writes the same verse, Satyam Param Dhimahi. So, we can understand that Vedavyasa is alluding to us that this Srimad Bhagavatam is actually Akhila Shruti Saram. And we see in the first chapter, second canto, that Sukadeva Goswami is glorified. Akhila Shruti as Akhila Shruti Saram, that you are trying to give us this essence of the entire Vedas. So in this way, Vedavyasa has started compiling this Srimad Bhagavatam. And again, he compiled it in such a way that it will also attract the so-called impersonalists. But the problem is, I was hearing a lecture from His Grace Radhika Raman Prabhu, which is titled as The Glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he says that there is one Westerner who tried to write an Advaitic viewpoint of Srimad Bhagavatam. But he failed, because he says, although I tried, I could not write an exclusive Advaitic commentary, because there is in the Bhagavatam expounds itself as Advaita, but it also expounds itself as Dvaita, which is the Lord and His devotees. That's what the purport says. It is all about the Lord and the devotees of the Lord. So he says, I failed because Bhagavatam talks about both. It's not new, because this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calls Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. Abheda is Advaita. Bheda is Dvaita, which is dualism. So Bhagavatam is talking about both. it is talking about that Advayam, which is Krishna, which is that Advayam, Vastu Advayam. Hmm? And then it is talking about the Advayam, which is the devotees, who is worshipping that Supreme Lord. So like this, we will see that that's why Adi Shankaracharya couldn't write a commentary on Bhagavad. Because if they try to attend, they will have to allude to that person Sri Krishna, which cannot be in person. So that is why we don't find a very clear Advaitic commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is how beautifully this compilation has been done by Sri Vedavyasa. And why is this glorious? Because from the beginning to the end, it is full of narration of one vastu, which is Krishna, the glories of the Supreme Lord. And there are five things. In fact, Jiva Goswami describes Srimad Bhagavatam as five things, five aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that this, to comprehend any glories of anything, you have to understand its glories. If you want to understand the object, you have to understand what the glories of that object is. Then you can understand it in entirety. So, Jiva Goswami says that this Srimad Bhagavatam can be compared to a lamp, it can be compared to the sun, it can be compared to Mohini Murti, you know, the Mohini Murti who distributes the nectar, and he can be compared, Bhagavatam can be compared to a desire tree, Kamadhin, Kalpavriksha, and a tasty fruit. There are five comparisons Jiva Goswami writes. And why does he write this? When he compares to the lamp, it is again coming from the first canto, second chapter, when it says Adhyatma Deepam. There is a verse in the second chapter, Adhyatma Deepam Atiti Tirsata. Adhyatma Deepam means that which actually lights the lamp of knowledge and removes ignorance. Adhyatma Deepam. This is how the Saunakar, the rishis glorify, I think they glorify Sutta Goswami, I think. I'm not sure exactly, can't recollect. But there is a verse which talks about Adhyatma Deepam. And then, we also know, why is it compared to the sun? Why is Bhagavatam compared to the sun? Because Purana Arka Adunudita. Krishna Swadhamopagate Dharman Jnanadibhisaha Kalavanishka Dushamesha Purana Arka Adunudita. So this is the sun that has arisen to dispel the dense darkness of materialism. That is why Jiva Goswami compares Srimad Bhagavatam to the sun, which is as blazing to burn away this material miseries. And then he compares Bhagavatam to Mohini Murti. You know why? Because Mohini Murti is the one who carries the nectar, but she is the one who also deceives the demons. She deceives the demons. So this Bhagavatam also is compiled in such a way that the demoniac cannot approach it. They cannot approach it. So that is why Bhagavatam is compared to the Mohini Murtis. And then a desire tree, it's a desire tree and a tasty fruit. Why? Because it is compared to Nigama Kalpataror Phalitam Sukhamukar Amrita Dhrava Samyutam. Kalpataror. So that is the verse again, that the third verse which we say, Nigama Kalpataror Phalitam Sukhamukar Amrita Dhrava Samyutam. Like this, Jiva Goswami compares Srimad Bhagavatam to five aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam which we can understand. So, and again in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa says, from the beginning till the end, Srimad Bhagavatam is full of Lord's pastimes, and which gives bliss to the devotees endowed with a sense of renunciation, because we know that Srimad Bhagavatam always talks about renunciation, and that's how it starts, because Parikshit Maharaj, who's an emperor, leaves everything and takes to a path of renunciation, and then he has Bhagavatam because he's nearing his death. So Bhagavatam expounds this time and again in its whole flow, and this Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. Why? Because it is the subject matter of Vastvaditya. Vastvaditya tannishtham kaivallaika prayojana. Vastu advitiyam, that is the verse Vedavyasa says in 12.13.11. Now what's interesting is, vastu means object. Advitiya means not dual object. It's the single most object, which is called as the absolute truth. Prabhupada calls it as absolute truth. What's interesting is when Madhvacharya took sannyas, well, he wanted to take sannyas, so he left his house at the age of 9. We have another glorious devotee who's taken his initiation at the age of 9. So Madhvacharya leaves his home in the midnight because his mother will stop him. So he left his home in the midnight. But when he leaves, it's written in the works of his lifetime that he actually pays obeisances to his pillar, to his house, to his floor, to the walls. He's paying obeisances to everywhere. So people did not understand why he did that. And then the acharyas explained that he did that because real vastu means advitiya vastu, which is Krishna. And that is Krishna who is pervaded everywhere. So he is paying obeisances to everything because Krishna is everywhere. So he is seeing everything as Krishna's manifestations. So like that, the acharyas can see Krishna everywhere. And same as Prahlad Maharaj, he says, he is there everywhere, Father. I can see him everywhere. That's when Hiranyakashipu says, can you see him there in that pillar? So in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam expounds about that advitiya vastu. And then again I was researching a little more, and then what's interesting is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says every scripture must be studied keeping three aspects in mind. What is the three aspects? Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. He says actually the scriptures are compiled like that by Vedavyasa. Vedavyasa has compiled it like that. So as a seeker, as a pursuant of that scripture, we need to look for the sambandha, the process and the prayojana, the goal of that literature. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is written that even Rigveda is written as sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. We have to understand that in the right sense. And which is very apparent when we study Ishopanishad, where in the last verses is talking about the prayojana, which is Hiranmayena Patre. I want to see your face, my dear Lord. So, when I was preparing for this lecture, I fell upon a lecture where it talks about Jiva Goswami's Bhagavata Sandarbha, because Jiva Goswami's works on Srimad Bhagavatam is about that thesis of work that he has prepared. So in the Bhagavata Sandarbha, he clearly explains that Srimad Bhagavatam explains about the Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. What is Sambandha? The Sambandha between the Srimad Bhagavata Purana and the pursuer or the adhikari who is trying to pursue that Purana. Abhideya is the means of attaining that book. How do I attain the knowledge from that book? And Prayojana means the completion state or the state brought about by understanding the Abhideya. Once you complete the process, what is the goal that we have reached? And the adhikari is a person who is eligible to read this book. Who is eligible to read this book? So, Jiva Goswami writes that this entire four topics is already said in Srimad Bhagavatam second verse. That is why it is talking about two things. Prabhupada writes in this purport two things. The glories of the Supreme Lord, which is spoken about verse 1. Janmadhyasya yatonvayaditaratas chardheshva bhigna swarat tene brahma hridayadikavaye mohyanti yat surayah tejo vari mridam yatha vinimaya yatra trisargo mrsha dhamna svena sadari rasta guhakam satyam param dhimahi. So this is about the Supreme Lord. But what happened about the devotees? Of course the devotee has been spoken there. Tene brahma hridayadikavaye. But in the second verse, Vedavyasa makes it very clear about these four aspects, the Sambandha, Jnana, Abhideya and Prayojana and the Adhikari. Dharma prochita kaitavatra paramo nirmat saranam satam vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavata Mahamuni Kritame Kimba Parareshwara Sadhyo Hridya Varudya Tetra Kritibihi Shushrushibhi Stakshana. So in this one verse, Jiva Goswami says the Sambandha is described, the Abhideya is described and the Prayojana is described, and even the Adhikaris have been told about. How is that? It is said that Sambandha means the main subject which the Srimad Bhagavatam discloses. What is that? In this verse, Dharma Projita Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam. Atra Vastu, that Vastu which is auspicious. Atra Vastu Shivadam. Shivadam is auspicious. Atra Vastu Shivadam. Huh? So, that is the Sambandha, that is the relationship between us and Krishna. And then he expounds that Vastu is Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas, Dhammeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaneti Shabdyate. Again, in the same canto. And then what is the Abhideya? Abhideya means which is prescribed in the Bhagavatam. What is Abhideya? Savaikum Sam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhokshade Ahaituki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasilate. The supreme duty is what? To do bhakti to the Supreme Lord. That bhakti, that devotion is the Abhideya that Bhagavatam expounds. And again, further in the Bhagavatam, you will see, I'm just quoting two verses. Atah Pumbir Videshtheshta Varnashrama Vibhavashah Svanushkithasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritosham. The only occupational duty for a man is what? Svanushkithasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritosham. That is only to please the Supreme Lord. So this is the Abhideya, this is the process that Jiva Goswami is explaining. That bhakti, that is the supreme dharma of any varnashrama. And then prayojana is satyo hridyavarodyate atra kritibihi sushrubhi stakshana. The Supreme Lord is arrested in the heart of the virtuous as soon as they so much desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. As soon as someone hears, why is Srimad Bhagavatam so glorious? Of course it is glorious because of the Supreme Lord, the glories of the Supreme Lord. Of course it is glorious because of the devotees and the explaining the Supreme Lord. But the catch is, whoever pursues Srimad Bhagavatam, at once the Supreme Lord becomes arrested, Jiva Goswami says. When you have to arrest somebody, okay, before we go there, if you remember the pastime of Lord Jagannath, when Balaram Subhadra comes and hears the devotee speaking about the Vrindavan pastimes, what do? They become stunned. And then Krishna also comes and Krishna also becomes stunned. Now if you want to arrest someone, in Indian movies, in Hindi movies, you are saying, when you have to arrest someone, they'll show this handcuffs. And what will the villain do? What will he do when he sees the handcuffs? Put his hands up like that. And that's what Krishna is doing. Krishna is doing his hands like this. Handcuff me. You see, Jagannath's hands are like this. You can handcuff him very easily. So, it means, Sadyohrit avarukhyate tatrabhi shushrubhi tatkshanat. The moment one gets interest in studying Bhagavatam, you can arrest the Supreme Lord in your heart. You can arrest him. Why? Because he gets attracted to someone who is chanting Bhagavatam. That is what Jagannath pastime. That's how Jagannath stands there and gets arrested because he hears some. And that is what they were doing. They were discussing Bhagavatam. And that is what Jiva Goswami writes in the Bhagavata Sandarbha, that at once the Lord can be captured in your heart. That is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why it is Amala Purana. So, and this perspective that Jiva Goswami writes, because he says this Bhagavatam attracts Krishna, it attracts Krishna into the heart. And who is the adhikari, who has got the eligibility to study Bhagavatam? Nirmat Saranam Satam. The virtuous who are non-envious. And what does non-envy mean? Non-envious means that I am not envious of someone's capacity or eligibility. So I'm actually seeing the Lord's capacity in everything. So therefore this verse expounds all the four topics: Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana and Adhikara, and the people who are eligible to write. What's interesting is, after Jiva Goswami in the Sat Sandarbhas, this knowledge is very much hidden in the Sandarbhas, because Prabhupada left us. Like, just as Krishna left us and left Bhagavatam, Prabhupada left us and left his books for us. Like, he left the books for us. But then there are so many other Acharya's books, like the Sandarbhas, which has this information. Of course, all of this is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj says, everything is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. Everything. prema madhurya bhakti prema bhakti, everything is there. One needs to have the eyes to see. It's Prabhupada sometimes, you know, he's used one of all the three bhashas. Sometimes you feel guhya bhasha, sometimes you have to go deep into it. I was hearing a lecture where His Holiness Gorgoi Maharaj reads from the fourth chapter and he proves from the purport that, is this not prema bhakti? You think this is just Bhagavad Gita? No, Prabhupada is talking about madhurya rasa here. Can you understand? And then the devotee says, oh my God, you're right. You're right, actually it is like that. But we don't understand sometimes, because when we approach the Shastras, we approach with what is in our mind rather than what Shastras want to tell us. Because we have a block. So we have that's why we have to be anuvarnitaha, anukirtitaha. We have to understand from taking a humbler position. Now, these sandharvas were first brought to us by none other than His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the very early days, his spiritual master advises him to compose a book which talks about the Sambandha Gyan Abhideya and Prayojana of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is when he writes a book called as Sri Bhagavata Arka Marichi Mala. Bhagavata Arka Marichi Mala. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur composes a book which contains the Sambandha Gyan Abhideya. So he classifies, he picks up verses and classifies how it is actually, you can understand the SAP Jnana of Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in the initial stages when his spiritual master advised him to do this, he was very afraid to do this, because what capacity I have to do this? And then he sees the vision of Swarup Damodar Prabhu in his dreams. And Swarup Damodar Prabhu comes in his dreams and he says, you must do it, you must write this book. Take the prominent verses, the essence of these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, and expound the principles of Sambandha towards Krishna, Abhideya, the process of attaining Krishna, and Prayojana, the ultimate goal of life, which is Prema Bhakti. You have to write this book. And that is when he composed this book called as Sri Bhagavata Arka Marichi Mala. So with this, I thank all the acharyas and even the lecture that I heard. I heard Radhika Raman Prabhu, and I heard a few lectures to prepare this, to understand this, for only for my purification. But this lecture has only increased my interest in Srimad Bhagavatam, because I'm still very novice. So I will stop here, and if there are any comments, corrections, questions, we can discuss for a while. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you so much for the class, Prabhu. Personally, I found quite insightful and inspiring as well. And like you, perhaps increasing in the taste and appreciation for Prabhupada as well. I have two questions, if you don't mind.
Yes,
in the beginning, you mentioned, when you started talking about the qualities of Bhagavata, you said it's also very unapproachable.
Yes.
Would you mind to explain why is that?
Yeah, when we discuss, so the question is, how is it unapproachable? So when we discuss the five aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam, Jiva Goswami writes, it is the aspect of Mohini Murti. Mohini Murti means, if someone wants to approach with a devious mentality, for them, Bhagavatam will carry them away from Krishna. Because Bhagavatam is giving the highest fruit in one sense. So it is not cheap. So it will not give for those who are devious in mindset. So in that sense, it is unapproachable. That's why Prabhupada writes, Mayavadis cannot access Srimad Bhagavatam. So even though Bhagavatam is there, the verses are there, the books are there, but they will never understand, because they actually criticize the personal form of the Lord. So in that sense, it is unapproachable to them. That's my understanding.
Yeah, you're right when you also mentioned about the adhikara.
Yes.
It's not being envious, so it's referred to that as well.
Correct.
As a condition.
Yes.
So the second question is related to, for example, Bhagavatam itself is giving the empowering the limit of the honest, not envious candidate, student, to understand that, and when it's Nasta Prayasolanis, no, Nidhyan Bhavata Sevaya. So, by reciting Bhavata constantly, everything that is a disturbance in the heart is eradicated, almost complete.
Correct.
So in that sense, get the ability to understand that. So how can we reconcile that aspect also? Because Bhagavan is so kind.
Correct.
That also empower the divinity to approach.
Yes. Actually, what's interesting is Bhagavatam is very close to the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita because it's transcendental knowledge. And in the fourth chapter, Krishna speaks about Ye yathamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham. So the Lord is impartial in the sense that whatever way you approach me with whatever desires, I'll fulfill it. Kalpataror nigamagalita phalam. So if somebody is approaching from a mindset of fulfilling his belly, like a professional reciter, the Lord will be okay, you'll become a professional reciter, you'll get your livelihood out of Bhagavatam. So that is the kindness of Bhagavatam. Ye yathamam prapadyante, because he did not come aspiring for bhakti. He has come for livelihood. Okay, so get it, please take it. You want livelihood, take it. It's kalpataru, kalpataru. So it will, and the beauty of Bhagavatam is, it's not instructive. Bhagavatam has another sweet thing. Vedas are instructive, like Upadeshamrita are instructive. But Bhagavatam is having three flavors to it. One flavor is, it is the dearmost friend. Like my teacher, His Grace Jagannath Mahaprabhu, always says, it's my dear friend, he says. I understood it now, that it talks to us like a friend, not like a teacher many times. It talks to us like a poet, just like a kavi expounds his kavita to his audience. That's how Bhagavatam talks about. And then it talks about like a lover with the rasa. So it doesn't give upadesha. So if somebody is coming for a livelihood, it doesn't say don't do it. Although it does in certain places that you have to reject materialism. But because it is imbued with the sweetness of the Lord, it is more a friend, a lover and a poet, more kavi, rather than instructive. So when someone approaches with whatever their desire is, that gets fulfilled. And that is the kindness of Srimad Bhagavatam.
When
Sanatana
Goswami also glorifies Srimad
Bhagavatam,
and explain, oh,
Srimad Bhagavatam,
Brahma Master, Mother, my God.
I couldn't hear,
Mataji. It's the same. Sanatana Goswami's prayers to the Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
It's the same aspect that you mentioned, where the Bhagavatam also perform those functions.
As
a master, guidance, as a friend,
yes.
As a mother,
yes.
And as a lover.
Yes. Yes, Mataji. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Mataji.
Question and further around, Krishna play primary aspects of Jiva Tattva or Krishna Tattva?
No, he was an Aveshavatara of the Lord. Well, it depends on, in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, it's very interesting. If you go to the Madhva Sampradaya, they believe he is the direct incarnation of the Lord. If you come to Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they say he is the Aveshavatara of the Lord. And interestingly, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they say we are the Aveshavatara. Vedavyasa is the Aveshavatara. So it depends on which Sampradaya you are thinking. But in Prabhupada, sometimes he is the Aveshavatara. But sometimes he is the Supreme Lord himself. In many places he says he is the Supreme Lord. Vedavyasa is the Supreme Lord. Because who else can give us all the Shastra apart from the Supreme Lord? No one else can give it to us. So it doesn't matter in nonsense. He is the Aveshavatara Lord or he is the direct incarnation of the Lord. But he is worshipable. But because our Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa is the incarnation of the Lord. Whether he is the Avesha Tattva, but he is not definitely the... Well, if it is Avesha Tattva, then it becomes a Jiva Tattva. Correct? Then it's a Jiva imbued with an Avesha. Correct? So, I don't know. So, I have read this in different perspectives. But many places, Prabhupada says he is the Avesha Avatar of the Lord. And sometimes he also calls it as a Supreme Lord. Yeah. But all I can say is he's worshipable, and our Vyasa is worshipable in that sense because he is. Yeah.
It's a little bit referring to the languages that you can help me to understand.
Just before you go, Mataji, if you see Bhagavad Gita, when Prabhupada writes about the parampara, when he says Madhvacharya, spiritual master is who?
Vyasa.
So we cannot consider our spiritual masters as Jiva Tattvas. So From that perspective, although if he is an Avesha avatar, we don't call them Jiva Tattvas. Isn't it? Oh, we shouldn't, of course they are Jiva Tattvas, but we should see them as Nitya. I mean, of course, yeah, you're right. As an Avesha avatar, you can see them as Jiva Tattvas. Sorry, my mistake. My I got confused. Yeah, I got confused. Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, regarding to the, you explained about the three types of language that is written. The Shastras, and Bhagavatam is more direct, meaning darshan.
Yes,
I wonder if we can also, can we understand that Guhya also is part of Bhagavatam, because the commentaries of our Acharyas helps us to understand the intricacy and the nuance of our narrative aspect of the describing pastime of the Lord, that is more Guhyam, it's not always directly there, but because the level of purification is more, you can undergo more meanings and reveal. Is that a proper understanding? Or?
There will be Guhya Bhasha used, but not much. So these three Bhashas will always be used in the Puranas. But predominantly, Bhagavatam is Darshana Bhasha. Guhya Bhasha will be used. Having said that, the commentaries, why they are important is, when we discuss about the Acharyas composing the commentaries in the 9th century or even Prabhupada, they could just, when they read the Bhagavata Shloka, they could just write, Iti Skande, Iti Padma Purane, Iti Brihadaranyaka, Iti Chandogya. They will know verses out of their mind, and they will just quote, yes, because Bhagavatam is saying this, and of course it is written in the Rig Veda like this, it is written in the Yajur Veda like this, it is written in this Purana like that. So they used to remember these verses. So when Prabhupada writes these commentaries, he is bringing all that knowledge in his purports. That's why Prabhupada sometimes refers to many other Puranas, and sometimes if we read Prabhupada's purports, it will be actually from further cantos. If you read all the cantos, you will see that Prabhupada is actually bringing up a verse from the 12th canto into the 1st canto and writing it. So, because Prabhupada had the whole Bhagavatam in his mind, in his heart, so they can reproduce it. But for us, to make it accessible to us, the commentaries are explained in such a way. That's how I have understood it, Mataji. It's not Guhya Bhasha as such, but because we are so puny to understand the real meaning of it, the Acharyas make it easy and accessible for us by writing commentaries on it. Having said that, coming back to the language part of it, what's interesting is Radhika Raman Prabhu also says that even though Bhagavatam uses sometimes the Vedic Sanskrit, there are words in the Srimad Bhagavatam that you will not find anywhere. You will not find it anywhere, not even in Panini Sanskrit, Panini grammar. Because these words you will only and only find it in Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are some complex words which you can't use it in general context, but you will only find it in Srimad Bhagavatam being used. So in terms of its language, it's very high class, or in that sense, very high class in the sense that it's pure Vedic Sanskrit. So a normal Sanskrit literarian cannot approach it in that sense. So one has to know the Vedic Sanskrit as well. So to make us accessible to it, the Acharyas write those comments. So it's not Guhya Bhasha as such, but because of the purity of that language that is used, so that Vedavyasa is giving that Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest, for that reason the Acharya write commentaries to make it approachable for us.
I'm also trying to relate what you're saying based on my personal understanding, and also hearing from senior devotees, but by studying the Shastras, especially Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, each time that you are approaching reading, more revelations are there.
Yeah.
And it's more like it's obvious in the first, as a darshan, that you mentioned, darshan vasya.
Mm.
But it's because the purification, the effect of purification of the Bhagavatam, the heart of the student, more things are revealed. It's more like a guhya, and at the same time, of course, prevalent to you.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, you can understand it like that as well. So, and that is true for any scripture, isn't it? So, Bhagavad Gita, if you read it the fourth time, You will hit upon something that you have never realized that before. Like for example, handcuffing Jagannath. I never realized it until today morning. I was thinking, oh, maybe that's why Jagannath is like this. He can handcuff me. So, and this is coming not because it's my realization. Because realizations are always existing. It's eternal truths. It is just that the Lord makes me accessible to that truth. Jnana deepena bhashyata. Tesham evan kampartam aham ajnana jantamaha. So like that. So I will remove the ignorance and give you access to that realization. So from that perspective, yes, there are. And the realization is infinite and it will never end and it will ever increase those realizations. And that is the beauty of the tattva and the rasa in the Bhagavad and any other scripture that is relevant in glorifying the Supreme Lord. That's my understanding.
Thank you.
Thank you, Master.
Just a comment.
Yes, please.
Like, what comment
on the approachable?
Yes, sir.
Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita that we pranipatena. It's not that, it's all in the change of attitude. Like if I come to you, can you explain to me? Like the way I ask you, it's in our attitude, you may not want to get me because of the way you are proud.
Yeah.
So if you remove the pride in our heart. So Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you want to know me, you have to approach a spiritual master. And a spiritual master also may not expect you depending on your attitude.
Okay. Yeah.
So you can't just come and I offer food to Krishna, you accept it. Yeah. There's procedure that you follow. Chandra, mantra, gayatri, many things. And on time, punctuality. So it's not that you have to accept it. So it's all in our attitude. So approachable is always approachable. But it depends on our attitude. Krishna, it will reveal to you, Krishna says, automatically when one does his service with devotion. Through bhakti can know me. But even what's the description of bhakti is that it's in our pridelessness and humility. We perform our service. It's not that I'm doing it, it's so wonderful, everybody will like it. So we are the center of attention. We're not thinking of Krishna. So we have to always see the back of our service. The goal is that is to how we are putting the devotion. So Krishna will be revealed through our action of our devotion, of our attitude, of our consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So it's always approachable, but it's not that when Lord Ram was and Raghu Lakshman was tied up by the rope of this the snake, and so Hanuman went to the
Sanjeevani
to get the medicine. So it's not Hanuman's attitude wasn't that I can free him. He was very humble. He was looking for the medicine. Even though this is all Leela. So, and God Himself, He is not bound by it, but He is all Leela. He is giving His devotee an opportunity to serve Him. And so, how can someone bind Him? But like we see, Mother Yashoda was bound by the rope. But at first, he wasn't. So, He was always teaching. So, similarly, this is actually a very important point, approachable. So, and another thing I want to mention also, Srila Prabhupada's books. Nowadays, we have many, I'm from in the 70s when it was banned in Islam to bring any other books except Prabhupada's books. Because it was, we had to, everything, like you said, everything is in Prabhupada's books. That's so fact. Because when you study Bhagavatam, study Bhagavad Gita, especially when you're doing Bhakti Shastri, so when you're writing a topic, like if you're going to give a class, you prepare. So this topic, maybe this verse you're talking on, it can be referred to Bhagavatam. It can refer to another Purana. So you bring, you're like milking a cow. So you bring the different points from everywhere to support that point that you're talking on. So It's all in Bhagavatam. Like you said, you have to have the eyes. So when you actually scrutinize this study, you'll find everything is in Prabhupada's books, actually, everything. You don't need to go to, because the reason why Srila Prabhupada have bought all the essences from all the books and put it in Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita. Specifically, he didn't want us to read other books, because all those supporting points are there in Bhagavatam. And sometimes we think, so when we do want to read other books, it means we are thinking I am better than Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada has already given. So these are very clear points that we have to suddenly understand. You know? So you said it nicely, I'm just giving you a further explanation of your talks. So I remember I used to collect some comics, they story form. For only a kid, you want to read some comics. And there are stories of Krishna Lila and different things, Indian history. And then in my suitcase, they found these magazines, my teacher. And I was a big trouble. This is in the 70s. So it means they said you're not allowed to read any books except Prabhupada books. So, but now I understand that everything is in Prabhupada books when you especially talk about philosophy. That's why you said Samantha Vidya Rajan. So when you're giving a talk on Samantha relationship, you can support relationship from Prayojana in regards to Samantha. And so you have to give support by quoting a verse, by giving a story relevant to the talks. So they're all there. So Mahabharata is mentioned is for like a sutra because they are attracted to stories. But at the same time, it also gives support to the point. So even though it's for a particular race, it doesn't mean it's Maya. But because it's Krishna's very merciful, he's giving to everyone according to their taste. So that's why they have the postgraduate Bhagavatam study and then the Bhagavad Gita. It doesn't mean one is better than the other. They're all good. So when we explain to people, it's like if you're a sutra and if somebody's Brahman or somebody's church, I cannot go on telling probably you're a sutra or you probably go on a Brahmana. We're standing people. So we're creating a problem. But everyone in the ashram is perfect in their own way in serving Krishna. That's the proper way to say it. But of course we are all devotional service, everything is perfect. But then there's some classification for the management purpose. If I'm good at cooking, I'm not going to be good at military work. So everyone has the duty in the ashram. They fit in well, so just want to say this.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Stop here. Thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Gautama.